this podcast includes unapologetic logic and reason and may not be suitable for all audiences. In a world full of nonsense, he's been called the voice of uncommon common sense. He sees the abnormal that many find normal. Author and award-winning speaker, he is Chris.
Two simple questions about our money, the American dollar, this fiat money system. How does this story end? And what do we do when we can't print any more money? I want to talk today about this budget chaos. No surprise last week they, you know, came to a last-minute deal to avert a shutdown because that doesn't seem to be good politically for anybody. Why is that? Well, because our economy seems to be so reliant on government spending that any shutdown of that would seem to mean economic doom, at least for a lot of people. I'm beginning to wonder, though, if that's not necessary. We'll come back to all that. Let me back up a second. I want to talk today about the budget and the debt and this heinous lack of any kind of vision leadership that we have in our government. Mike Johnson has done nothing. The Republicans can worse than nothing. They're making the problem worse. Absolutely making it worse. You look at the combination of problems. I'm doing this as part of a series, the border chaos, the budget chaos. Tomorrow I want to talk about the election chaos. It's unbelievable, the sinister little games that are played, and you can see it unfolding. I'll talk about that tomorrow. Today I want to talk about the budget. You put the three stories together, the border, the budget, and the elections. And don't say this is conspiracy theory, right? If somebody on the liberal media side, CBS, or Christopher Scott, a radical conspiracy theorist alleging unbased claims of election fraud. It's all unbased. I shouldn't say I don't have any direct evidence. That's not true either. I've actually been in the room witnessing the election interference firsthand. by Republicans, by the way. What was the game? Dan Burton running for state house. I was right there when they left him off the primary ballot. Wouldn't put him on there. Just flat out refused. Good buddy of mine. These are affluent people fighting this out. My buddy has integrity. He's fighting this woman who was the election captain there for that precinct or whatever. Nope. Wouldn't do it. Rich female, white female woman. Nasty as all get out. Republican. Cheating in the election, leaving my friend, my brother, Marine veteran Dan Burton off the ballot. Think about that for a second. Didn't like him. Radical. Not feeding their mold. No flexibility, no sense of what's right. Hey, my buddy was playing. Hey, listen, this guy, he filed his paper. Everything's done. Nope, not going on. You want to point fingers at the liberals? I don't really want to talk about it. I don't see that the Republicans have done anything good for our country. You've got a couple of good ones here and there, but there's no movement. There's no conservative movement. Why? Why is everybody running scared? Nobody's got any vision. Everybody's so mired down and fighting about everything. Let me give you some of the cold, hard facts on this budget thing. A couple of stories. Jamie Dimon from J.P. Morgan says that the U.S. debt is the most predictable crisis. I've said this how many times? These problems that we have are completely fixable. They're all man-made, all completely predictable, which means they're all completely avoidable, but yet we continue to do it. We continue to do things that are harmful for our country, such as leaving our border wide open and just spending like there's no bottom to the well. No bottom to the well. It's just amazing. They'll say, whatever it takes to solve their climate crisis, their war in Ukraine, whatever they want. No, just print, they'll rip you off. Who's the they? Biden and the Democrats, really? Here's a story from The Hill. I talked about it. Trump added $8.4 trillion to the national debt. $8 trillion. Can I do this quickly here? I should have had it teed up. What's $8 trillion divided by $300 million? I'll tell you right now. $8 trillion in debt that Trump added, divided by 300 million. Many people are doing this now. That means that's $26,000 for every man, woman, and child that Trump added to the debt. Let me repeat that to you, you Trump lovers. And I'm going to tell you the problem. Don't get me wrong. I intend to vote for Trump. But this is a real problem that he has not dealt with. And I view a lot of his comments on other things as a bit of filibustering to deal with the real issue at hand. And I would say to you that this budget issue is the foundation of all the other problems, including the border. Why would I say that? You say, well, they want to steal the votes. They need the votes to continue to steal the money. They need to be able to – that's all they care about. That's the problem. That Trump is a threat to the printing of the money. Don't expose it for the fraud that it is. What kind of opportunity is being driven out by all this debt production? It's a Ponzi scheme. It's fiat money. The money's always going to work its way up to the top, and there's people that don't want any money system. That's the way that it works. Not in a just system, there's not. Not in a fair system, it doesn't. There's always going to be people that are irresponsible. Money has temptations, all these different things. Some people have self-control, some don't. But that's not at all what we're talking about. With this fiat money, it can only continue to go to the top. And it's squeezing out any opportunity for anybody at the bottom. So they're going to import a bunch of migrants that don't know any better. Oh, you're going to go work for $15 an hour. Thanks a lot. That's the new American dream, $15 an hour. But let me get back to my point of Trump's role in this a second. Because what's really the point of me criticizing Biden? Can you tell me? Biden's not going to listen to me. Maybe Trump will listen to me. Look at Argentina. Do we want to end up like Argentina? Do we want to end up like, what is it, Brazil? What are the countries that are in disarray down there? Can't keep track of all the foreign stuff. Donald Trump with his policies, I said it as it was going on. I spoke about it. I can go back and replay it for you. I'm no bootlicker. I support Trump. I love Trump. But this is wrong, what he did. And just like I said to you yesterday, do good people do this? How can Trump in good conscience say, I borrowed $8 trillion, $26,000 that we're only paying interest on, and we're then going to heap on our children and their children to deal with it later? Who does that? What kind of legacy is that? Now, I think some of this bears understanding how the financial system works. But the fact of the matter is, it's a crisis level right now. And are you okay with the fact that Trump borrowed $26,000 on your behalf? Let me just round it up properly, $27,000. Let me round it down, $26,000 for you and your spouse. That's $52,000. You have two kids? That's $104,000 that Trump just mortgaged on your back. And if you say, well, not me, I'm not going to be able to pay. You will. You will. We will. And I remember getting into quite a heated debate with a good friend of mine. He was upset. I said, you tell me the difference between Trump inflation and Biden inflation. There are some differences. I do believe that the Trump spending was more appropriate in some ways. Look at all the money they threw out that COVID stimulus. Was that responsible spending? My wife got hacked. Somebody down in Florida was claiming unemployment in her name. Some, you know, crazy amount of money. My son was telling me stories. Students who lost part-time jobs getting $20,000, $30,000. Business owners getting, you know, $200,000 loans that they didn't have to pay back. And everybody just kept quiet about it. Now, you don't think that that runs up inflation? You don't think that all these little business owners that got all these little – and Democrats are very unhappy about it, as they should be. That's their argument for the student loan bailout. Whoa, 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 whoa. How come all these business owners just got this giant rebate, but yet these poor students are stuck? All become politicized. Politicized money. Is that what you really want? I don't. Not Trump control, not Biden control. Neither of them should have control of it. We should have control over it. It should be something reliable. That's how something has value. It doesn't have any value when it's not reliable that a president can come in and government just run up that kind of debts on the back of its citizenry with no questions at all, really. And it continues to go on and on. Biden, for his part, I don't know that he'll get to $8 trillion. I don't really keep track of it. It's just beyond even measuring at this point, beyond even discussing. I should have done it here. Let's see what the current – well, let's do the U.S. debt clock here. I'll give you some here we go. U.S. debt clock. This is something worth taking a look at. You don't have to take my word for any of this. $34 trillion. Holy smokes. This time machine only goes back so far. They're saying there's going to be a budget showdown 2028 in 4 years. It's going to be ugly. The debt per citizen in this country is currently $102,000. If you have a family of four, That's $400,000. But that's only part of the problem, because about half the country, more than half, doesn't pay any federal income taxes. So the debt per taxpayer is $266,000. We're not going bankrupt. We're so far gone, it's not even funny. It's insane, really, these numbers. Federal tax revenue coming up on $5 trillion. $14,000 in federal tax revenue. These numbers have wildly gone up. Payroll tax revenue, income tax revenue, corporate tax revenue. The bottom line, out of all of the money that the federal government takes in, just the federal government, which last I checked was half. I don't have it in front of me to look. But last I checked was half. I don't know if the state and local has gone up commensurate. $14,000 per year per citizen just for federal debt. Just for federal taxes, rather. $14,000 a year. They say, well, I don't pay that much. Some of us are paying a lot more. And it averages out, but you don't think that it ultimately comes back to you? It does. What's the debt GDP? 123%. Remember when Obama, that shuckster, he was selling us on his debt program? He ran up more debt than all the presidents before him combined. And then Trump came in and trumped him. No pun intended. They want to tell you that Americans have a savings problem and a debt problem, $8,000 in credit card debt average per credit card holder. Oh, but meanwhile, Trump goes out and runs up another $26,000 for every man, woman, and child in the country. Somehow that's responsible spending, or stimulus, as they call it, economic stimulus. The Green New Scam. Where is all this money going? Nobody even knows. Nobody can even keep track of it. They've added up here, if you look at this U.S. debt clock, unfunded liabilities, interest paid, Bitcoin, I don't know what the total U.S. debt, total debt combined at $100 trillion with $11,000 in savings per family. Personal debt per citizen, $75,000. So there's $25 trillion in personal debt and $34 trillion in national debt. The average citizen out of the womb wakes up with, round numbers, $200,000 in debt that you're carrying. They say, well, I have more debt than that myself. Some do, but some don't. That's per citizen. So, for example, mathematically, if I am $175,350 for our family, we don't have $425,000 in our own debt, but that's how much we're responsible for under the system. Is that fair? Is running up inflation? We have no control, nothing to show for the money. All these resources, let's start there. All this money, all this debt being generated, what are we getting out of it besides headaches? It's killing us because they're using the money to literally poison us at this point. They're polluting the elections. They've corrupted the border. They can't stop. They say if we don't bring people in here to prop up this currency, the whole world's going to crash. Nobody's going to be eating. And I use this as a good point in time. Look, I was talking to a guy, Teddy Daniels. He's going to be coming on the Project Chaos radio show with me. If you haven't heard me talk about that, projectchaos.org. I hope you'll head over there and check out that podcast. It's available on all your players. It's a great, incredible podcast. We do a live radio show on Mondays and some incredible interviews with some incredible people. In about 2 weeks, I'm going to be interviewing a guy named Teddy Daniels, whom I've met a couple of times. Teddy Daniels is an Army guy who got shot in Afghanistan. He got caught on helmet cam. He ran for lieutenant governor here in Pennsylvania. I met him while he was campaigning. And I had introduced him at an event. I had given a veteran's benediction. They asked me to do the introduction for Teddy Daniels, which I was very proud to do. Anyway, I gave him a call. I said, hey, Teddy, Marine down here. I know you guys aren't real friendly to Marines, but I'm one of the friendly ones. Call me back. Calls me back 5 minutes later. Hey, brother. He's a big dude, too. He's going to be a great guest. Anyway, he's selling survival food, and my point is he's much more of a doomsayer. Listen to what he has to say. I'm a little more optimistic, but I don't disagree with him at all. I'm going to tell you right now, you know, I hope everything's going to be okay. You know, usually people worry about things that haven't happened yet, and the future rarely is as people predicted. Usually never as great as you think, never as bad as you think, and there's always a good chance that tomorrow is going to be a whole lot like today. It's just the way things work. That being said, if you ask me, the biggest threat we face overall, non-security, you know, the direct impact, food. I can see it coming. In Europe here, the AG in New York, I mentioned yesterday, filing a lawsuit against the country's largest beef producer because of methane emissions. They're like a tick on the back of these companies. Talk about if they're not regulating them out of existence, they're suing them out of existence. They threaten them with these heinous legal actions where the government legal departments have unlimited budgets. This is Bolshevism 2.0, brought to you by none other than Barack Obama. I'm convinced of that. We'll talk about that a little bit more when we talk about the elections tomorrow. Who's really running the country? And why has it been turned over to Barack Obama? How many times a day are they talking to him? Let me keep with the debt thing, though. Trump adding $8.4 trillion. When is this here, this story? Oh, yeah, U.S. debt on pace to reach $54 trillion over the next 10 years. I think according to the U.S. debt clock, let me just see here, the time machine. I think they're saying it won't get to that. They're saying the estimates for 2028 right now, there's three estimates on what the debt will look like in 2028, and then I'm going to give you mine, okay? We're currently at approaching $35 trillion. They're saying in 4 years that we're going to be at, according to the Congressional Budget Office, $40 trillion. The Office of Budget Management says $41 trillion. The U.S. debt clock estimate says $46 trillion. So where is the $54 trillion doomsday scenario coming from? I don't think so. I think it's already here. I think that what you see going on in Congress is the bankers are already saying, we can't keep doing this. Can't keep doing it. There's some crazy things that I hear going on. Let me give you my prediction. So the Congressional Budget Office says $40 trillion. Office of Budget Management says $41 trillion. The debt clock people say $46 trillion. I'll tell you, I'll say it'll be even higher. I had been talking about this since 6 years ago when I started the podcast. Coming up on 7 years, 6.5 years we're doing this podcast. Going to be approaching podcast number 1700 here soon. Where are we at? 1648. Even with the Project Chaos, we're not quite at 1700. 1,700 broadcasts. That's amazing when you think about it. But I've been talking about this debt problem that long. And I just watch it continue year over year. And along with it, I watch all the other problems that get worse and worse. Why? Because the only way the government knows how to solve a problem is to throw money at it. When the problem is that there's too much money being thrown at it, it's kind of like throwing gasoline on a fire, and I think that's a lot of what's happening right now. Doesn't make any sense. $40 trillion, $41 trillion, $46 trillion, I'll tell you, it'll be even higher. What do I base that on? Every time there's a budget crisis, every time there's a budget showdown, they go in their little room at the 11th hour, and they come out with a secret budget deal that nobody read, saw, or did, and it's even more money. Good news, they'll tell you. Good news. We averted a shutdown. Good news. We funded the war in Ukraine, thankfully. Good news. Every veteran is getting free VA health care. True story. Not every single one, but Biden's just buying votes. Free, whatever it takes. Just buy, 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 buy. They don't care. They're throwing money. They have anything because they want the economic stimulus. They don't understand. It's like throwing gasoline on the fire. That guy down in Argentina, I don't know. We're not getting good calm. I don't want to say he's done the right thing, but they say he's balanced the budget. Here we have from CNBC. The U.S. national debt is rising by $1 trillion every 100 days. So I'm going to pull up my calculator because I'm getting a little older. So my calculator is not going to open, right? I don't know what's wrong with the computers. I got to tell you, I get so frustrated. How is it my calculator not opening on the computer? The simplest things I've noticed. Have you noticed in this? I think it's the AI. So if I do 365 times 4 years, 1,400 days divided by 100 is going to be 14, right? So that's another $14 trillion plus the 35 that we have now. That's $50 trillion, well over all three estimates that I just told you. That's coming from CNBC. We can't, I'm seeing it happen. I just saw it was at 34. I'm like, holy crap, it's at 34 and a half now. But don't worry. U.S. lawmakers have reached a deal to temporarily avert government shutdown. Funding bills will now be extended to March 8th, while the rest of the budget will be extended to March 22nd. Listen to this. I learned this from Michael Savage. I'll give credit where credit is due. They say here, we're in agreement. The Congress must work in a bipartisan manner to fund our government, top lawmakers said in a joint statement. Here's what I'll tell you, brought to you from Michael Savage. One thing is true, a resounding truth, the cold hard truth you're going to get here on the Christopher Scott Show. And that is, when the lawmakers agree, you can best rest assured one thing, you are getting screwed royally. When they team together, we lose big time. Well, here you go from the AmericanProgress.org. The Schumer-Johnson budget deal explained. Here's how you're getting screwed. Under the tight caps in the budget agreement, Congress should be able to meet the nation's highest priorities, but the government would provide a lower level of services and benefits than it did in fiscal year 2023. So it sounds like there will be some cutbacks and all that. Uncle Joe not happy. Uncle Joe likes throwing around money. In 2023, Joe Biden signed the law Fiscal Responsibility Act in exchange for temporary suspension of the debt limit, thereby avoiding a default. The bipartisan law created a budget caps for fiscal years 24 and 25, split between defense discretionary and non-defense discretionary funding. So they cut defense discretionary spending and non-discretionary. Last I checked, what is this discretionary spending? It's like $1 trillion that's all politicized. If you've been listening to the Project Chaos radio show, I've been talking about this war as a racket. They're not using the money for defense. They're not using it for infrastructure. They're lying to you. Although they seem to call for enormous cuts in the non-defense discretionary funding, the White House and Republican leadership negotiated and agreed to a side deal that would allow Congress to technically adhere to the budget caps while providing $69 billion of funding above the statutory. So it's just a joke. It's just a joke how the budget caps work and the side deals work. And this is what happens when you have lawyers running the country. Then they have this big chart here that nobody could probably, a breakdown of non-defense discretionary budget authority and fiscal. Additional COVID funds, zero. That's good. Repurpose of COVID funds, zero. On a gimmick chimps. This is real gimmick. Repurposed COVID funds. Half real, half gimmick. What is this? Offsetting collection. You can't even understand this. I'm sure I'm just not smart enough. Budget caps squeeze non-defense discretionary funding. I don't know what this even. Cuts to the IRS will cause the side deal as a whole to lose money, of course. I don't know. You read through the. This is the Schumann-Johnson budget deal explained. I'd say it's in the show notes. I don't think I'm going to post the show notes anymore. Nobody's looking at them. And I don't have time to be messing around with show notes anymore. It just was one of those things I did. I got it from the No Agenda show. They post their show notes. I thought it was cool. But I just don't see our audience really valuing it, which is fine. I'm just leaving everything in my private database. Go do your own research. That's my word of the day. What happens when we can't print any more money? How much is this damaging the world, our country? How much is it damaging future generations? How much is this Ponzi scheme killing opportunity in front of us right now? What is the cost that we are paying for all this wealth and money that we're creating? Anytime I move out from like the urban centers, I'm reminded by just what a real society should look like. And it is not one where everything's brand new. When I drive around down here where I'm at, all I see is brand new cars, brand new houses, everything new, shiny new. Money, 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 money. And a lot of it's fake. What do I mean by that? I've told you this. I live on the good side of the tracks, I'm happy to say. We've moved up, you know. It wasn't always the case. I don't mind living down by the railroad. We could survive down there. But these days, we enjoy a nice little spot up on the hill. However, I've often said this. And we're not in the country club section. You gotta go on a whole nother side of town. That's on a whole nother side of the tracks. Now those people have real money. What do I mean by that? I know some people that live over there. My brother Stan down there, you know, his house probably worth a couple million dollars. Look, my buddy Stan, just to give you an idea of the wealth. His foyer is literally got to be as big as half my house. I kid you not. Probably half of a level of my house is his foyer. I've seen like 100 people in the guy's foyer. It's just mind-boggling. You know, three staircases. You look down the one, it goes down from the basement all the way up. There's a koi pond at the bottom. It's gorgeous. The woodwork. There's no debt. Talk to Stan about a mortgage. He's like, I don't even know what a mortgage is. You know, he's got properties, theaters, businesses that I don't even know. I really don't. You know, people like that, they don't tell you. They don't tell anybody everything they own, ever. There's a lot of reasons for that because they know the more you have, the more people are going to try and take. Uncle Sam runs things a little differently. But my point about all that is there is some wealth. But it's a very, very few. And I want to be careful with this because I'm not one in the camp to say that the problem is the rich people. The problem is the politicians and the government. You know, the problem isn't my brother Stan who busted his butt, generations of his family to build that wealth. The guy's 70, going on 80 years old, and he still breaks his back every day. Don't tell me he hasn't earned everything that he's gotten. He has, and I completely respect him for that. I remember when I was, and I have a few what I consider to be very high net worth friends, which I look at as over, you know, $10 million, $20 million, $50 million net worth. I'm like, that's big money. I mean, I'm at the age now where I've got plenty of friends that are millionaires. It's not even a big deal anymore, right? If you're 55 years old today and, you know, you're getting ready to retire, it's not uncommon that you would have a $1 million portfolio or more. And I know plenty of people like that. I call it middle class these days. You have $5 million, it's a couple of bucks. You got a $10 million portfolio, real estate, stocks, whatever. It's a lot of money, $10 million. You know, you're going to have a vacation home. You're putting your kids through college. You got a couple businesses probably. You start getting into the $25 million realm, and you get into a whole different. It's just amazing up in those leagues. I remember one time at the Saucon Valley Country Club with the guy who was the CFO of Bethlehem Steel. It was just money, man, real money. Equity, value, there's no debt, you know, but then there's a whole other portion of the country, the middle class, they'll say, that's all living on debt. And why? Because the system has gotten out of whack. Why? Because we gave over control of the money to the government. We turned over control of our money to the government. And like everything that the government does, what have they done? They've systematically destroyed it. It's taken a while. A little over 100 years, but they finally did it. They finally destroyed it. This all started back in whatever it was, 1916 or so, with the passage of, what was it, the 16th or the 19th Amendment? I feel like I've got some numbers transposed. The Income Tax Amendment, when it was passed in the early 1900s. Isn't it interesting? Nobody talks about how we never had an income tax. We have an income tax, then we suddenly have a Great Recession. We come out of the Great Recession with the new deal. We're going to fix it for you. Government's going to fix it for you. Now we're choking on the bill. It all started back then under the same sales pitch. The public safety net. We need to do more to help people. There is some truth to that. But how we do it is key. And I'll say to you that allowing government to politicize our money and the value of money is probably the most heinous thing that we've ever allowed in our history. And I believe if you were to take a closer look, and I'm not a historian, by the way, but I am fascinated by history. And I think if you look deeply, you would find, especially in Middle Eastern cultures, but in others, it's been the printing of money, the fiat money, the government meddling in the value of the money that has ultimately led to the destruction of many societies. It's led to the rise of communism, socialism, and maybe it's just a natural progression of things that we're unaware of. But I'll say this, one way or the other, we got to break out of it. And the only way that that's going to happen is through a revolution. It's going to take a revolution to change it. And I say to you, not a violent revolution. It does not have to be a riot. Maybe we'll talk about the Velvet Revolution next week as a perfect tie into that. I'll be back tomorrow, God willing. You don't want to miss it. I hope to see you there. Make it a great day.